it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome in, Rose City, to Soccer Made in Portland. It is semifinal week here in the rainy Rose City.
Home semifinal.
Home semifinal once again, same as last year. The Portland Thorns play, and the year before. The Portland Thorns play host to Gotham FC on Sunday. Going to be inevitably a packed house at Providence Park for what I think is going to be an intriguing matchup and a competitive one, as it seems always to be at this stage of the NWSL playoffs and any stage really in a league filled with so much parity. A big day for the franchise, obviously wanting to win a game to get into another championship game, and hopefully for their sake, they want to bring home the fourth championship in club history, which between the two things, a shield versus a championship, if they had to pick one, they'd pick the ring every time. That's just how American sports fans view things. We've talked at length about the differences between the two, and of course the Thorns lost out on the shield in the final match of the season,
the
second year in a row, 5-1 loss on the road at Angel City. So it has been, as we've spoken about off air, a sort of Jekyll and Hyde type season for the Portland Thorns. Which team is going to show up on a given week? Typically, after these rough results, after a loss or, poor performance, they have bounced back this year. They have the advantage, obviously, of being home in one of, if not the best atmospheres in NWSL, on their pitch, on the turf that they're used to playing on. It's all the factors are there for the Thorns to win this semifinal and move on. But of course it has not gone their way before. We saw it 2 years ago hosting a semifinal and losing with a lot of obviously external factors. Swirling
that
around
was, that was very much
run,
the hashtag external factors playoffs, but nonetheless, yes. lost on their home field in the semi.
Yeah, and there are external and internal factors that can play into a game like the one that's going to be played on Sunday, right? This is a team that, believes strongly in its identity as a championship team and something of a dynasty. They wouldn't use that word, but they are trying to build that in Portland in the NWSL, and so their standards are extremely high. And, players like Sam Coffey have come out and said things like they look like a championship team 1 week and bottom of the table the next week. Those are strong words from the captain, Sam Coffey. And so a lot to address, a lot to sort of analyze and dig into ahead of this matchup. But I'm wondering, Chris, sort of what are some of the things that stand out most to you ahead of the semifinal matchup?
One of the big talking points that we've talked about before and that is sort of inevitably going to be an issue is the length of the layoff that the Thorns have had. That game against Angel City just feels like forever and a day ago. And that's in part because it was forever and a day ago. They have been off for a long, long time. They've had the international break. They had the first round of the playoffs. It has been quite a while. When they play this weekend, it will have been 3 weeks since they played a competitive game. And that competitive game was not particularly competitive. And so, that is a big layoff. I think in most circumstances, you would say that is too much. A team in the Thorns position does not want to be idle for that long, even if a good number of their folks were out in competitive circumstances with their national teams. And that doesn't set them up well for a one-and-done semifinal. I kind of think the way the Thorns ended things a few weeks ago maybe flips that on its head, though. I think this team, the performance against Angel City was atrocious. It was awful. And this team looked like it needed an opportunity to collect itself and to recenter itself and to get ready for what are now elimination games. Two of them, hopefully, maybe just one of them. So I think in this circumstance, if you'd asked me a few weeks ago, do the Thorns want to have that layoff between the last game of the regular season and the semifinal, I would have said absolutely not. That's the last thing in the world they want. They want to keep playing and they want to keep dominating.
Yeah, and that's the thought that the team had as well. You know, all the players didn't want it. They thought it sucked. All the coaches were like, no, please, let's not have this. But there was a hint of sort of, okay, maybe we do need after that Angel City game. Like Megan Klingenberg said it, I believe Sam Coffey may have said it as well, that having this time to sort of self-reflect may actually be their benefit.
Absolutely. And so I think the Thorns are probably now, and I would guess it's a widely shared perspective, pretty thankful that they've had this opportunity to collect themselves and get ready for these playoff games. I think that's certainly one of the big talking points. But nonetheless, I mean, what are we going to see from this team when they come out? They have had the Jekyll and Hyde nature over the course of the last few months. You can't do that in these, albeit very short playoffs. You've got to be. I mean, I don't know which. I'm just not well schooled enough in the literature to know which is like the good one, Jekyll or Hyde, but you need the good one. Like you can't have the bad one. You need the good one. And you need the good one twice. I can see Ryan on the other side of the internet going to the internet to try to find answers to my questions. But you got to have the good one twice, because if you show up with the bad one once, that's the end of the season. Right, whether it's in the semifinal or in the final, you're going to be done.
Jekyll is the good one. Hyde is the bad.
Two Jekylls, no Hydes. That's what you need. That's what this playoffs is all about.
So Dr. Henry Jekyll created a serum to separate this hidden evil in his personality from you know his brain. Right. He in doing so. Jekyll transformed into the smaller, younger, cruel, and remorseless Hyde, who is considered the evil between the two. I, off the top of my head, did not remember that either, so thank you to the internet.
It came through again. I mean, in fairness, that might be like some AI-generated answer that's just totally nonsense. But
the grammar seemed okay, right, so that's it probably good. Wasn't. Right,
we'll go with it for now, but if we're wrong, it's because... you know, Mark Zuckerberg screwed it up.
Easy person to blame, and usually the
really,
right one.
Really nice. I mean, Elon Musk gets his fair share too, but really nice to have those kinds of folks around to you know point to for all the world's ills. You need two Jekylls, no Hydes. And if they come out in this game, look, we saw this Thorns team play Gotham in Portland very recently, and it was a game, and it was a Jekyll game. Right. The Thorns were really good. They controlled that game. They got the goal through Hina Sugita in the second half. But for a couple of nervous moments late, that would have been a pretty comfortable 1-0 victory. As it was only a slightly uncomfortable 1-0 victory, but it was a 1-0 victory nonetheless. And, you know, I think if we see that from the Thorns, I don't see any reason to expect a different result. In fact, if anything, given the fact that Sophia Smith is certainly going to play a larger role in this game than she did in that game. I can't remember. Was that the game where she made her first sort of brief cameo, or was it the next week? She's going to play a role, and certainly a significantly larger role in this upcoming game in the semifinal than she did in that game. And that only makes the Thorns more dangerous. Right. And so, you know, all of those factors make you think, boy, if the Jekyll Thorns show up, this is a game that sets up well for them to win. But don't take from that. The takeaway from that game is not that Gotham is not dangerous. Gotham's dangerous. They've got some players who can score some dang goals. There's a reason Gotham is in the semifinal, and it's not because of luck or bounces or anything like that. It's because they've got bona fide, genuine weapons. And so if the Hydethorns show up even for a little bit, this could get real dicey real fast. So, that's the question. Is it going to be Jekyll or Hyde? And I agree with you that there are some circumstances that seem to align with this maybe being more likely a Jekyll game than a Hyde game. But we've seen exceptions to that, right? I mean, the game against San Diego that would have been one that would have locked up the Shield if they'd gotten a result was certainly a Hyde game. That was at Providence Park. That seemingly had a lot of the same factors pointing in the same direction, and they belly flopped. And a game that wasn't particularly competitive, frankly. I mean, it was a 2-0, but it was like a 2-0. It wasn't like a 2-0. That was unjust. It was like that was 2-0.
It was at least 2-0.
Yeah. And so, you know, I don't think anybody can be all that confident in which Thorns team is going to show up. Now, you hope that the 11 or 18 Thorns who are in the team are much more confident about that and have built that confidence over the course of these 3 weeks, including some time away for some key players, but also including some training time for the group. And that's what's going to be necessary. That's the task that's been before Mike Norris. And we'll see. Norris has answered some of those questions that we've asked of him this year, and he's not answered some of the questions that we've asked him this year. And so we'll see. I think it's, you know, pointing toward pretty high drama coming up on Sunday.
Yeah. This is a Gotham team that comes in, you know, riding high and wanting to sort of be this team of destiny type vibe, rallying around Ali Krieger and, you know, that's a big part of it, but you know, Krieger is only one piece of a very complicated and, you know, dangerous puzzle here. Like, you've got Lynn Williams and Yasmin Ryan, both of whom, you know, Ryan is a former Thorn, so there's a little extra motivation for her there, but both of them being incredibly dangerous attacking players that, you know, if those Hyde Thorns show up, the biggest issues for them have been on the defensive side of the ball, right? It's been, you know, issues in wide areas and getting beat on the counter and, you know, all these things that lend themselves to Gotham's play style. Now, that was a concern coming into that Gotham game earlier this season, a few weeks ago, and the Thorns answered them, as you said, you know, basically flawlessly. I mean, save for a sketchy moment where Lynn Williams nearly scored at the end of the game, which was close, but not close enough to be like they escaped by the skin of their teeth. They dominated the game defensively. They held Gotham to a very limited number of opportunities. Gotham's possession numbers were low. Portland could very easily have won that match 2-0 or 3-0, but you know, those are the type of performances defensively that end up being the difference when maybe you're throwing a lot at the wall and not all of it sticks, right? You know, credit to Hina Sugita obviously for being the one to break through, but you know, in those scenarios, those are the type of performances you need to win playoff games, frankly. Playoff soccer, you know, in NWSL in particular, it's just a different level, you know, and rising to the moment and playing that type of lockdown, you know, heavy communicating, you know, well-moving defense that this Thorns team is capable of playing, regardless of personnel, is what it's going to take against Gotham. Because I think that, you know, given that they're going to have Sophia Smith back likely as a starter, who knows how many minutes maybe she'll be able to go, probably not a full 90 just given the timeline of recovery there, but given that they'll have her up top to raise hell, and Morgan Weaver continuing to do what she's done, if she can sort of regain that form that she was in prior to the last couple games of the season, you know, the attacking weapons, you don't even really need to talk about them because it's so obvious given that the Thorns led the league in goals for two consecutive seasons by a huge margin, that the attacking talent and, you know, prowess is there. The biggest questions really are, you know, as we spoke a little bit about off air, how the midfield will shape up, who's going to be in that midfield, and how they match up with Gotham's. And then, of course, the defensive stuff that we talked about, particularly the wide areas with Klingenberg and Natalia Kuika, who had brutal games, and they would be the first to admit that against an Angel City team that has sort of a similar kind of, you know, build.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be looking at Lynn Williams and Midge Purse, right? With Esther Gonzalez up top. That's a task.
Yeah, that's no easy task.
And Jenna Nyswager in midfield is a rookie of the year candidate. Yasmin Ryan is having a breakout year. I mean, this Gotham team is legit. And they're legit in ways that, at least on paper, you would think can break down and exploit some of the areas in which the Thorns have been weak.
Right. And so that brings up the idea of personnel, the people that we will see in those positions. Typically, this season and in previous seasons, this Thorns team has leaned on veteran experience in big games like this over maybe the tactical personnel that would make possibly more sense in the scenario, right? Because if you're going just by personnel and form and sort of what you think would be the ideal starting lineup from a skill standpoint and from a fit standpoint, you're looking more at people like Olivia Moultrie and Rocky Rodriguez in central midfield than you would necessarily at Christine Sinclair, who obviously, you know, is a club legend and all the other superlatives. But Sinclair, to me, is the one that is probably more likely to start, just based on that sort of precedent that has been set by Mike Norris and by other coaches, and just the value they place in veteran leadership. And the same goes for, you know, the outside back spots. You know, you could make an argument that maybe given recent performances, Reyna Reyes might be a better move on either of those outside back spots, either for Kuika or for Klingenberg. It's typically been for Klingenberg in terms of substitution.
Yeah, although there would be an argument for Kuika here, given that she had a ton of travel, essentially midweek or on the weekend, around the weekend, with national team travel that Kling didn't have. That there would be that argument there. But I agree, that would ordinarily be a question that we would very much be asking going into this week.
Right, right. And otherwise, you know, it seems pretty set in stone that we're going to see people like Becky Sauerbrunn and Emily Mangus in central defense. And, you know, obviously Bixby between the wickets, and, you know, Sam Coffey leading the way as she does as a bona fide MVP candidate, which we can maybe talk about that a little bit later on in the podcast. You know, the Coffey versus Smith debate. If you're a Thorns fan who thinks it's got to be a Thorn for MVP, which one would you pick? But, you know, the sicko answer is Coffey, and the more maybe practical answer would probably be Smith. But either way, like the rest of the team, you feel pretty solid about in terms of the talent, and, you know, the performance is the other question, because, you know, some of the performance aspects, regardless of talent, have not been up to snuff from some of those high quality players.
Yeah, I think the selection, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's unlikely that they're going to make a change at the fullback positions. I've been scratching my head a little bit as to why they haven't for the last few weeks of the regular season anyway, because it was becoming pretty clear that that was a weakness. And, like, arguably your best player on the bench slots right in there in Reyna Reyes, who has had a strong rookie campaign. So I'm surprised that that move hasn't been considered or made to this point. Given the performance at Angel City, I think there would be a very good argument to make that move in one of those two spots, especially given that you're facing up against two very potent, very athletic wide forwards in Midge Purse and Lynn Williams. I would want a little bit more athleticism in that spot, and that's exactly what Reyna gives you. She gives you a bit more strength and a bit more athleticism, and I think you're going to need both in spades. At least on one of those two sides. I think it's hard to make a move like that in this kind of spot right before a semifinal, when you haven't been making that selection over the course of the last several months. really since the World Cup break, several weeks, not several months. Several months would be like the beginning of the season, just mathematically. But nonetheless, I mean, if I were Mike Norris, that would very much be a thought in my head. And if I had 3 weeks to train, that would very, very much be a thought in my head with 3 weeks to prepare and get her worked in training. And so, you know, I hope it was at least considered, but I agree with you. It probably will not come to pass. The central midfield selection is an interesting one. You know, if you remember back to that game in which the Thorns performed well against Gotham several weeks back, they started Hina Sugita in central midfield. Hina was the primary pairing with Sam Coffey, with Olivia Moultrie sitting above the two of them in central midfield. And that was interesting. We haven't seen that a whole lot really since Hina like showed up. That was where she played a lot when she first came to Portland as in sort of that eight role. She's moved out primarily to the wing over the course of the last year plus. And she stepped back into that eight role in that game against Gotham and performed well. And that was a good look. I don't know, especially with the way the front three of Hina, Soph, and Morgan Weaver have performed over the course of the year, which is phenomenally when those three were together, like the best unit in the league. When those three were together, I don't think that's the direction I would go simply because I want that front three, right? I don't want to sacrifice that. If I've got that front three available, I want it. And so I would look elsewhere, I think, for my central midfield pairing. Look, Rocky Rodriguez has been a little bit inconsistent. I think it is only fair to acknowledge over the course of this period. She has good company in that. I don't mean to call her out specifically. There have been a number of players that you could put in that category. She's been inconsistent, but I keep going back to the fact that the best soccer that the Thorns have played over the course of the year has been when Sam Coffey and Rocky Rodriguez have been paired and paired well together. That is the best this team has looked. And if you take that and combine it with that potent front three, I still remain convinced that that is your best team. And then, you know, whether it's Olivia Moultrie or Christine Sinclair or Crystal Dunn, I think is probably more likely at the 10 in that. I think that's your best sort of midfield to attacking six, with Crystal running the 10, Hina and Morgan Weaver out wide, and Sophia Smith up top. Now, if Soph isn't able to go, I mean, probably pretty close to 90, you would want her fit for in a game like this, because you wouldn't necessarily want to get to the hour and have to pull Sophia Smith off the field. If she's not fit to go the distance, I think maybe that complicates that decision. But in terms of setting up the midfield, that's I think the best unit the Thorns have. That said, your observation is right that when sort of backs have been against the wall, this Thorns team has most often gone with experience over necessarily fit. And so I don't think it sets Sinclair up for success, especially as the season has dragged on. But I wouldn't be surprised to see her in that central midfield unit, and we'll see. I mean, Sink is a gamer. And so if there's anybody who can pull a little bit of a rabbit out of a hat, I mean, there are very few people in the world I would trust more to do that than Christine Sinclair.
Exactly. And I think that there are others like Klingenberg and Sauerbrunn who are that way, even if they might not be the right selection in the moment at this stage in their career. It's just sort of who these women are, and you know, it's been successful in the past. That's not to say that, you know, making that choice if you're Mike Norris is going to cause, you know, the everything to fall apart. It's more likely not, based on previous performance. I mean, they won the championship last year with that approach, so
yeah,
you know, it worked out. But we'll see how that applies to this season and this specific matchup and this
team. A year later. and you know, I mean, I think I very much lean more toward fit and form than vibes. And you know, I understand the argument on the other side, but for me, it's a matter of putting the best personnel on the field in the roles that fit them well and that set them up well for success. And if the Thorns have those six available in the midfield and the attack, I think that's the setup. that just makes the most sense. And look, I'm excited about the idea of bringing in somebody like Christine Sinclair off the bench to make an impact late on in a game like that. I'm excited about the idea of putting Olivia Moultrie and bringing her in off the bench late in a game like this with the opportunity to make a difference in a big spot. I think she's ready for that.
Yeah, she's got like game winning goal vibes.
Yeah.
Like she can pull off something like that.
I think so, you know, it that's not to say that I think those players should be marooned to the bench, never to be seen in this game. They absolutely, almost certainly have a role to play for me. But in terms of setting up the team to dictate the game and control the game, that to me is the way to do it. And we'll see if Mike Norris agrees. I am quite confident he won't with respect to Rodriguez. Mike Norris and I just rate Rocky Rodriguez differently. I think in the moments in which the Thorns have been good with that Coffey and Rodriguez pairing, my view, and I think our collective view, has been vindicated. I think there have also been weaker moments, but frankly, I think the hook has come really quickly after those weaker moments, much more quickly than they have for some others. And so we'll see. But you know, I mean, if the game goes well, then he'll look like a genius. If it goes poorly, well, that's why we got a podcast.
That's always how it goes, right? You know, you hindsight is 20/20 in sports. It's always, you know, you succeed and you're, you know, this mastermind, this genius. And, you know, if you fail, then, you know, it's all your fault and, you know, see you later, buddy. People calling for
you're either the mastermind or the anti-hero.
Yes.
That was for Jackie.
I guess, you know, tangentially, that was also for Emma, yeah. Our two of our most loyal listeners. So moving to the MVP discussion, which I think is worth having ahead of, you know, this game and then obviously the announcement for the award and the other in-season awards or regular season awards are set to be announced ahead of the championship match in San Diego next week. Sam Coffey and Sophia Smith are both nominated for MVP. Two of the five candidates coming from the Thorns, two players who I think are, you know, wholly deserving of being in that conversation. There is a lot of layers to it. I think that Soph was my vote. So I had a media vote and I picked Sophia Smith for MVP.
I didn't have a vote to be clear. I'm a non-voter.
You were a fan voter, though.
That's true. Yeah. 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 I just go into the mess of the internet.
Yeah. You're just part of the plebeians, the regular people who, you know, get to vote. But with my media vote, I picked Soph number one. It's ranked choice. So I put Soph number one, Caroline number two, and Sam Coffey number three. There are people who have presented strong arguments that Coffey more than Smith, who obviously had an amazing season with 11 goals and 5 assists, that Coffey, who led the league in assists and was a quintessential holding midfielder all season and was a big reason why the Thorns had their success, should be the winner of this MVP award. And I think it's an interesting debate because it sort of says a lot not only about what type of soccer fan you are, but also just sort of how you view the game. And I'm wondering, from your vantage point, like if you had the sort of ranked choice, you know, media type vote, or if you had the magic wand and you had the power to decide right now with your infinite wisdom who the MVP should be between Soph and Sam Coffey, what's your pick looking like?
A couple caveats before I get into the results. First of all, I just want to make clear that I am like I'm some sort of officer. I don't know if I'm like the president or the vice president or the secretary or the treasurer, but I'm like, I have some sort of official position. And when I say official position, I mean unofficial position because this isn't a real thing. In the Sam Coffey fan club, I am a Sam Coffey stan. I think she's one of the best players in the league. I think you can make a really compelling case that she had as good a season as any player in the league. And if MVP was a sort of just, you know, horse race for who had the best season, I think you could really easily justify Sam Coffey. And look, I think that's a justifiable way to look at the MVP race, to look at the MVP sort of question too. But if you're going to be a literalist, a textualist, if you're going to, you know, if you're going to Antonin Scalia this and be a hard textualist as to most valuable player, I actually would have exactly the same top three as you. The argument against Sophia Smith is that she missed a lot of the season, both with the World Cup and because of her injury shortly after the World Cup, right? And that is the really only argument for Soph, because if Soph had played a full season where she did what she did primarily through the first half of the season, we wouldn't be having this discussion. This conversation would be over. She would have won.
It wouldn't even be a debate.
She would have won with like 90%
so far ahead.
Yeah. This would have been like, you know, some failing democracy election of a dictator, like levels of uncompetitiveness, of electoral uncompetitiveness. Right. I mean, she would have gotten Putin like numbers. So we wouldn't even be having this discussion. And frankly, I think when you saw the Thorns with Sophia Smith and the Thorns without Sophia Smith, sometimes they made it work without Soph, but they were never dominant like they were with Sophia Smith. And I think,
yeah, I think about that Spirit game in particular, right before the World Cup, where she had a hat trick. It was unbelievable. It was silliness, and it was unbelievable individual brilliance from Sophia Smith, but it was also team brilliance.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, her value and how great she is individually makes every single player around her better. And I think that the stride that she made in terms of the assist numbers is as compelling an argument as any that she deserves the award, because not only did she put up the huge goal numbers just as she did last year, but she took that extra step. And I actually talked to Lauren Donaldson about this, her former coach at Real Colorado, who's now the former coach of Jamaica. You know, he spoke about how excited he was that she had taken that step, because he was always one of those people in Soph's life who sort of drove her competitive spirit and kind of molded her and helped her along to become the player that she became with her own work ethic and ability. Like,
and that was also the knock on her, right? I mean, if there was a knock on her coming into the season, is that she was not a great box passer. That she was pretty goal-focused, sometimes to the detriment of the team.
Yeah, exactly. They would use terms like selfish, which is ridiculous, but they would say things like that about
somebody who was just a striker. That's just
how she was a striker. She was scoring goals.
Lots, a very good striker too. But yeah,
yeah, she was extremely productive. So even if that was true, who cares? You know. But that's besides the point. Like, Soph has taken such major strides this year, and despite the injury, despite missing a few games because of that and the World Cup, she still led the league in goals. She still was, to me, proven to be the most valuable player on what was the best team this season. You know, they didn't finish with the most points, but I think the Thorns were the best team. And, you know, consistency issues aside, you know, that's a question they're going to have to answer in these playoffs. But she was the best player on the best team. And I think that Sam Coffey, you know, she was the second best player on the best team.
And you know, I don't even necessarily think of it that way. I mean, I also sort of think of it from the perspective of just having watched games, identifying players who sort of single-handedly flip a game, right? Who can take a game from being competitive to uncompetitive just because of their own individual brilliance. I think both Soph and Caroline have stronger arguments sort of in that measure of most valuableness than Sam Coffey does. And that is absolutely no knock on Coffey, who is frankly, I mean, if I were an expansion team and I could pick any player in the league, I would be very interested in Sophia Smith. Don't get me wrong. I might maybe even probably would take Sophia Smith. I would think really hard though about taking Sam Coffey. Because I'm a big believer that you build a team from the middle out. And if I were to choose one player who I wanted to say, my central midfield is sorted now for the next decade, Sam Coffey's my player. Take Sophia Smith. Maybe she's here for a year or two or three. and then, you know, is going to go on to other challenges, I might look at Sam Coffey and say, that's my cornerstone. And so, you know, that is sort of how I view Coffey, which I view her in superlative terms. But in terms of most valuable player, and this is, I mean, folks would very rightly say, this is why MVPs always go to attacking players. And that's not wrong. That's a fair criticism, and one that I'm not entirely comfortable with. But nonetheless, by that measure of MVP, I think Smith and Caroline are on a little bit of a different level.
For sure. I mean, there's multiple, you know, awards rewarding different areas of the field. There isn't a holding midfielder of the year award, unfortunately, but yeah, like that's sort of the you know, the scenario that they're in, is there's only the defender award. There's the defender award, the goalkeeper of the year award,
golden boot,
but the golden boot, but no holding midfielder. What would be your perspective on that? Should there be a holding midfielder of the year award?
I mean, look who you're asking. I basically, like, my entire vibe is central midfielders, right? Like that is just my, like, that is my brand. of course I would pay for the trophy. Like, that is like my thing. It would be, I mean, because I would be paying for the trophy. It would be kind of a cruddy one, because it would be like the shield, because, you know, I'm not going to pay that much for it, but I would buy the trophy.
Would it just be like Diego Chara? Like, just his face.
Certainly smiling. Not for NWSL. Ooh, that's a good question. Who would I name the trophy after?
Ah, yes, that's an even better question. Who's like the all-time holding midfielder for, you know, NWSL, or for, you know, sort of the women's game in general, that you could.
Let's discuss this on a future podcast.
Yeah, maybe by the time
I want some time.
Well, maybe by the time it becomes an award, by the time the league comes
and I dig up enough money from the couch cushions.
Yes, then maybe by then you could call it the Sam Coffey Award. She's at the end of her career. She has made this amazing name for herself and established, you know, how valuable this position is. Perhaps someday in the distant future, it's the Sam Coffey Award.
It could be in the distant future, the Sam Coffey Award. I would really want to think, though, about who I named the award after. Assuming that this isn't too far in the distant future, I'm going to need to go elsewhere. Got to be legendary. There are some good choices, some good options. Check back.
Okay, we'll talk about it maybe on the next podcast. Maybe they'll have announced MVP by then.
That's possible.
But it's looking like that will probably come either the day or two before the championship game, which is on the 12th.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be a big weekend.
Hopefully it's a big weekend for the Thorns. Otherwise, it'll be just kind of a sad weekend for the Thorns.
Yeah, like they'll bring home an award or two and have some best 11 players. But, you know, the big thing is the championship. You know, they're all happy to, you know, achieve these individual things, and it adds to the lore of who they are as individuals. It
puts a little extra cheddar in players.
The ched's always good, but they want this championship badly. And, you know, it everything that's been said, all the superlatives that have been used about the Thorns by people like you and me, by people in the media in general, by those in the soccer world, those are essentially meaningless unless you sort of do the thing that you say you want to do, right? And that's what lies in front of the Thorns this Sunday against Gotham. So that will wrap it up for us.
Big stakes.
Big stakes.
Find your way down there. Just if you're on the west side, don't take Max.
Yeah, that's another piece I wanted to touch on before we wrapped up, is that if you typically ride the Max to games, the blue and red lines are shut down essentially completely after the Washington Park stop. So that means that if you live west of the Zoo stop and typically take the Max to Providence Park, don't do it. You can't
shout out to Max.
You can't eat. Yeah. Public transit is important.
Yeah. And Max in general punches above its weight for mid-city public transit. Big Max fan, even if I have some notes right now. Big Max fan overall. Little bit of a shocker, but unlucky for Max this Sunday. We'll hope the Thorns. I mean, a little bit of a Hyde game for Max on Sunday, but hopefully the Thorns, you know, represent with the Jekyll and we can all move on.
Yeah, I have several notes, but I do appreciate the value of public transit in general. You can follow us on Twitter at SoccerMaidenPDX, at Chris Reifer and at Ryan T. Clark. Like us, subscribe to us wherever you get your pods. There are shuttle buses coming from the Sunset Transit Center that you can take to Providence Park if you choose to go that route, or you could drive, or you could walk if you live in the area. Those are pretty much your only options. No, you can't land your small plane on the turf. I don't think that anybody would be terribly happy about that. Other than that, that'll wrap it up for us. We'll catch you next week. Thorns play Sunday. If they win, we're on to San Diego.
Going to Titletown.
Thanks for joining us.